Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Jane Oates, the Assistant Secretary for the Employment and Training Administration at the Labor Department.
Veterans put in their military job code. You're in the Army and you're a 91B. Put that into My Next Move for Veterans, and you can get all the jobs that utilize those skills in the civilian workforce so that we can target your work search to those specific employers.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Save up to $1,600 on a qualifying Bryant Evolution system by calling Gaithersburg Heating and Air Conditioning at 301-926-3253.
Bryant, whatever it takes.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is best known as GovTwit. It's Steve Lunsford, who is the founder of GovTwit and the co-founder of Gov2O Radio. Steve, man, welcome to the show. It's been too long, huh?
Hi. Thanks. Thanks so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Give us a little background. You've worked for some very major companies. You're still doing time at one of them right now, and we're not talking about them today because this isn't about your job at that company. This is about your major role in Gov2O. Period. So. Tell us a little about.
I'm a communicator by trade. I have a little over 20 years experience working in marketing and PR, advertising and communications, with the past 10 really focused on the public sector for a variety of firms, both in the telecom and public services space. So moving as Gov2O kind of came about as a term in late 07, and throughout 2008, really kind of being the seminal year for growth, started to shift into learning about those the tools that help power that movement, and how to use them and how to effectively communicate in this government community.
Okay, but the skills you developed like way back, you worked for a major hotel chain once upon a time.
Yeah, major hotel chain, one of the top telecommunications, telecom firms in the country. Some pretty broad experience in terms of how to reach varying audiences, whether they be consumers or businesses or government.
Right, but in that 20-year span, what you learned in college, in large part, has kind of gone out the door because of the changes in how we're communicating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the tools change, but I think at the end of the day, what a job of a communicator hasn't. It's all about telling stories and resonating with people and providing examples of, if you're representing a company or firm or even a government agency, the value that you're able to bring to the marketplace. I actually was having this conversation with someone at one of the DC Week events yesterday about there's a certain frame of communicator. You have those that are really old school and still have not yet gravitated towards using any of the new tools, still doing business the way they used to. You have folks that don't understand the old school at all and that are very, very passionate about the new tools. And then I like to think that I kind of sit and straddle in between those. I mean, I remember a point in time when, as a PR guy, I would come home with boxes full of clips from Burrell's loose and literally, I mean, hard copy paper clips with little tabs at the top that gave you the name of the publication, their circulation, and have to sit there on the floor of my townhouse and sort them into piles of based on the campaigns we were doing and then manually add them up. Then moving into systems like Vocus or other tracking systems that do this kind of automatically for you, to now organizations that, you know, not even paying for those types of systems, going out and using open source tools, whether they be Google News Alerts, et cetera, to compile those same types of reports. So the technology's changed. I think we're still doing a lot of the same things. But I think it helps to have the perspective of the old way and the new way, not mm-hmm. just one or the other, because it's not one or the other. You can't get rid of nothing's dropped off the map. You still have to continue to look at reaching your audiences where they are, and we're at a point in time where there are four generations active in the workforce today, and you need to be able to figure out the best ways to reach those different audiences in the way that they like to they absorb information.
Right, and witness what we're doing right now. We're doing, you know, radio, terrestrial
right.
radio.
Exactly.
But Federal News Radio archives, so they're available as podcasts. You can listen online at, when the show airs. You can listen in the archives. You can tweet it. You can, I mean, you know, there's the share buttons across the top of all of the shows. So they've done a good job here of integrating the tools. But basically, it's radio. So, and I like radio. thank God I like it, because I've been here for 5 years now. So you've been doing this 20 years. Let's talk about your like initial forays into the social media. I was an early adopter. I've been on LinkedIn now for 8 years. February 11, 2004. So I'm getting close to my my 8 year anniversary. But I didn't really adapt to it the first year or two. So talk to us a little bit about what social media did you first start experimenting with, and take it from there.
Sure. I think it depends on how you define social, but I think, you know, the granddaddy of everything is kind of internet forums. And while I wasn't a big user of like Usenet, I was a big user of forums as far back as 2000, late 2000, early 2001. But that was mostly personal use. It was things like there's a forum I'm still active in today around the use of TiVo. You know, I was one of the early adapters of TiVo as the DVR product, and it was all about hacking it and how do you make larger hard drives to record more shows and things like that. So very active in that community and still active in that community today. And like yourself, I joined LinkedIn in 2004. I'm looking March 19th. I know LinkedIn actually pushed something out not too long ago, and if I recall correctly,
you were in the first quarter million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you see the tremendous growth, and at that time, it was used for you know a long period of time until a couple of years back. You know, kind of just as an online Rolodex. Now they obviously, as you know, very very well, much more robust product set that they and features that they offer users.
Right.
So there was that piece as well. But I think it was the really hit me, and I started using social tools from a business perspective, not just from a personal perspective, in 2008. And like many in the government community, the presidential campaign, I think ushered in this recognition of the sea change that was coming. There are a lot of folks like my colleague Chris here, who founded Social Media Club back in 2005, that were really early adopters of these types of tools, and we're seeing the power. But in early 2008, I looked at tools like Twitter, et cetera, and really didn't. At the time, I was managing for in the public sector business, and didn't really connect with me at first in terms of how they worked or would work or apply to the government sector. It wasn't until I decided, okay, well, I'm finally going to jump on Twitter for real, as opposed to just kind of looking at it from afar, and really started to get involved and started to find folks that were on there that were our clients, that the firm that I worked for at the time, that I was looking at CTOs and CIOs of major federal agencies, CTOs, CIOs of states, subject matter experts on anything from cybersecurity to healthcare, all having these very rich, robust conversations on Twitter. So that's when I first really started to use it, and actually that's what led me to create GovTwit.
Okay. Conversations on Twitter still evade me. I've been there for a couple of years now. I have maybe 1,200 or so followers, and I follow about 850 people. But I use it mainly to post links to articles and other stuff. Like, for instance, and we'll get there, I just posted your latest blog post from GovTwit, and we'll talk about why shortly. But for conversations, explain a little to me how that works. Give me a mini tutorial if you can. And let's do the mini tutorial after the break, and we'll pick it up there. My guest today is Steve Lunsford. Steve is the founder of GovTwit, and he's the co-founder of Gov2O Radio, and we'll be talking about that too. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Arma, your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
The Washington Caps and Skydex Technologies have teamed up to raise money for the TAPS organization through the sale of Courage Caps and T-shirts. TAPS is a tragedy assistance resource for anyone who has suffered the loss of a military loved one in service to our country. Courage Caps and T-shirts go on sale Saturday, November 12th. Help support the families and loved ones of our honored military men and women. Visit WashingtonCaps.com/CourageCaps for more information.
Previously on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, there was a special panel conversation about the F-35 program, discussing the cost of the program. Tom Burbidge, Executive VP and GM of F-35 Program Integration.
When you talk about cost on a major complex weapon system like this, you tend to talk about the acquisition, the price. In reality, that's only a small part of the overall lifecycle cost of the airplane. We have the development program, which is probably the most comprehensive and complex in the history of development, with a highly common family of three airplanes going through a very long and intensive test program. We have the production facilities that we've now put in place around the world to support high-rate manufacturing and, again, capturing those economies of scale. And then you have the all-important cost of ownership and cost of operations throughout the life cycle. I would offer there's even a fourth element, and that's what we currently do on a regular basis, day in and day out, our long-term peacekeeping or combat operations with all three U.S. services and our allies.
To listen to the whole program, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword F-35.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Please join Jim Fleisig on Tuesday, November 15th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will discuss cloud computing initiatives within the Department of Defense. The panel includes government leaders from the U.S. Army, U.S. Air Force, and DISA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, November 15th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com, sponsored by HP Red Hat and CA Technologies.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, That moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Steve Lunsford. He is GovTwit and co-founder of Gov2O Radio. Steve, give me a mini tutorial as a Twitter moron, me, not you. How do you have a conversation with somebody on Twitter?
Yeah, so I think first, Mark, I think everybody will gravitate, as we mentioned in the first segment, everybody, I think, gravitates towards what they're most comfortable with, right?
Right.
So for me, as a guy that came out, you know, journalism guy, a reporter, came out of J school and very news junkie. So Twitter to me was like mana. And it real-time news engine. You're getting stuff before you're seeing it anywhere else. It very quickly replaced things like RSS feeds and that sort of stuff. It is the definition of the adage, the social media adage of you don't find news, news finds you. If you're following the right people, and of course it takes, but that takes some work, right? So
yep.
if you're just using and it's gotten a little better than it was back in 07, 08, but if you're just using the Twitter.com tool, it was pretty difficult to do this. So using tools like TweetDeck or Hootsuite or others that allow you to categorize the folks that you're following into certain columns. So I've got a column for news, for instance, there I put all news organizations and reporters. I've got a column for government. I've got a column for technology, personal technology or mobile technology, which is a personal interest of mine. So that helps you kind of segregate and make sense of this waterfall of information that's coming across. So you asked about having conversations on Twitter, and again, that was the thing that initially attracted me to want to build GovTwit, the directory up, is that it was very difficult at the time to find communities of interest on the tool, on that particular service. It was like the old days of the web. You would actually go out, and you would find someone to follow, and they were talking about interesting stuff in government, and then you would go and click on who they're following, right? And then find the three people, and you would go down this little rabbit hole of trying to, you know, find different links, just like the early days of the web, where people just used to kind of click around and see what was cool on the web. So the idea was that there has to be a better way to kind of find these, and that was what led me to create the directory initially. I think your question about how do you have a conversation on Twitter probably centers around the brevity and the character limit. Am I correct?
Yes and no. I mean, I can send direct messages to people, but I spend so little time on Twitter that, usually it's easier for me to either email somebody or just call them.
Yeah, there are times where, especially if you're getting to a passionate disagreement, let's say, or want to have long-form conversations where Twitter is just really not appropriate. And I think that becomes relatively clear as you're having a back and forth with individuals, and you figure out, okay, well, let's take this to another platform where we can be a little more verbose, whether it be LinkedIn or G+ or just email.
Yeah.
But I think because it's such a robust platform and it has this mechanism where because it's set up differently than Facebook, where you have to friend somebody, or it was the first network that allowed you to just kind of broadcast openly, and anybody could subscribe to your feed.
Mm-hmm.
That it encouraged this level of interaction between people that didn't necessarily know each other to then start these conversations up. That's how I met Adriel and Steve, Adriel, who is the founder of Gov2O Radio, and I'm his co-host there. It was through Twitter. Steve Ressler, who founded GovLoop, was also through the platform, and having conversations about, what do you think of this? And to your point, it's not just the conversation that happens there, which sometimes can be very short, very brief, and then point you along to having that more robust conversation at a different platform.
Right. Well, right now, GovTwit has 10,281 followers, which is pretty sizable community. Do you have any idea how many of those are like media, other media people, as opposed to other?
Yeah, I haven't gone through the follower list. Once it gets to a certain point, it became a little unmanageable to kind of look at demographic, and that's not as easy as one might think to kind of pull that out.
Yeah.
There are a fairly sizable amount of media. However, there were I know there are folks from the, you know, from most of the major trade publications certainly follow the account. There are folks from the New York Times, Washington Post, so most of the major publications that have written about, you know, especially when you look at politics and Twitter, there have been a number of scandals and things like that, and so GovTwit and Tweet Congress and other organizations kind of become resources when those types of stories break. So I don't know specifically, but I know that it's a pretty broad community. I was actually checking out some stats yesterday. As we get to talking about the latest blog post and looking at, you know, some of the folks that are coming in to visit, and it's just so broad and diverse, both from a corporate standpoint, corporate organizations, various agencies, from small agencies to agencies within the DOD to the very interesting just to find that the White House has its own domain when they come in to visit a site.
Okay. Which came first, GovTwit or GovLoop?
GovLoop.
Well, let's talk about GovLoop then. How did you get involved with Mr. Ressler?
Really just kind of looking at the community. Steve started that community up and had already been very active in the government community, starting up Young Number of Leaders prior. GovLoop was, really kind of Facebook for feds and was extremely differentiated from anything else that was going on.
But he started it on LinkedIn, right?
I believe so. You know, he'll obviously know his growth story. I wasn't aware of it until it was already a Ning platform based organization, and that's when I joined.
Okay.
And I just thought it was a really cool idea of a way to, as I said, I'm a big proponent of forums in general, and that ability to go and have these conversations, threaded conversations about a topic of interest that some people may think is wonky, you know, right? I mean, the betterment of government and how agency work, how acquisition works, things like that. I thought it was pretty cool to kind of take a tool that's been used for other purposes outside and really aim it towards how do government workers connect with each other.
Okay, so your involvement with Steve actually probably started as a web relationship, yes?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Which people ask me when I do a lot of speaking and writing on using LinkedIn. They go, that's not really relationships, is it? I'm going, well, yeah, it is, because everywhere I go, at least 20% of the audience that I'm speaking to knows me from my activity on LinkedIn. They don't know me from the radio. They don't know my books. They don't know I write for WashTech, but they know me from LinkedIn. And because they see my activity on LinkedIn, a lot of those people assume we've met before. So it really develops a comfort factor and facilitates having a live face-to-face.
Yeah, the thing is that if folks aren't using the tools, they don't understand necessarily that it does. It's just another connection point. It allows actually groups that otherwise would never have connected to learn about each other and then kind of build those relationships offline as well. So Steve, definitely I consider him to be a friend, not just an online friend, but we see each other as he comes up to DC pretty regularly, and,
right.
and Adriel as well.
Yep,
and the same thing. I mean, these are relationships that I certainly wouldn't have had, or people I wouldn't have met, and both my personal and professional experiences wouldn't be as rich without those types of connections.
Right, and the Adriel he just mentioned, we're going to talk about in the next segment. That would be Adriel Hampton, the other co-founder of Gov2O Radio. And when we come back, we'll be talking about that. My guest today is Steve Lunsford, who is the founder of GovTwit, co-founder of Gov2O Radio. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Do you know us? We employ more than 70,000 people in more than 800 locations throughout the United States. Through our network of suppliers, we indirectly enable tens of thousands of American jobs. Tens of thousands. Jobs that put food on the table. Jobs that put kids through college. Jobs that keep our economy going. And yet, many of you don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. We may be the biggest unknown company in America, but our jobs power the economy, and our technologies, products, and services power the world. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Sir, we have multiple contacts bearing 050 at 30 miles.
When the Navy and Coast Guard needed a radar to perform critical missions, they chose the TRS 3D radar from EADS North America. Built to cut through clutter in a busy coastal environment, the TRS 3D detects multiple surface and air threats simultaneously, so our nation's defenders can respond quickly and keep us safe.
Sir, estimated intercept time is 2 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise high with GW basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Steph Warren is the principal deputy CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department. He says the agency measures two factors for all of its IT projects.
We have a line item for everything we're going to spend, either at the contract level or for every product we're going to deliver, those six-month increments or less. So we're actually able to measure the spend. We also track what time they spent on what project. Where are our staff working and what are they focusing on?
Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
I've always struggled with losing weight. With APWU Health Plan's new weight management program, I can see a dietitian or nutritionist in Cigna's extensive nationwide network for free.
APWU Health Plan has benefits to enhance your lifestyle. It features two plans with comprehensive benefits and nationwide coverage.
APWU Health Plan's diabetes management program saves me over $150 a month, and finding the right provider with Cigna's network was simple.
Learn more at APWUHP.com or call 1-800-744-2728.
Maybe your car already has sensors to detect some hazards, but soon it could be communicating with other cars and traffic signals to help you avoid accidents. You can't always see everything around you, all the potential dangers on the road. So Jim Sayer at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute is equipping thousands of vehicles with wireless communication systems.
They'll be sharing with each other where they're located relative to each other.
So drivers can be warned if, say, a speeding vehicle is approaching the intersection ahead. They can also respond to messages from roadside monitors like,
slow down, you're going too fast for the upcoming curve.
Exactly how vehicles will alert the driver is still in the works.
Would it be lights or a vibrating seat or steering wheel?
The system will get a real-life road test in about a year. To find out more about this story, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Steve Lunsford. Steve is the number one. He's one of the best known people in the government market using social media. I may be known for LinkedIn, but that's like one facet here. Steve's all over podcast via Gov2O Radio. One of the best known
tweeters in the market and a power user on LinkedIn as well. So, number one, thanks again for being here because I love talking about this stuff. So, Adriel lives on the West Coast. Adriel Hampton is the other co-founder of Gov2O Radio. So just two of you, or was Steve involved in that too?
So, it initially Gov2O Radio, Adriel spun that up and had myself and Steve Ressler initially as co-host. And we now have Allison Hornery, who is actually based in Australia, as one of the co-hosts. And
cool.
You can check that out at gov2oradio.com, and we broadcast live via Blog Talk Radio Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then there's the podcast is obviously available through a number of different sources, both there and iTunes, et cetera.
Right. I've been on, and 9 p.m. is not my optimal time, but it was a blast being on the show. So how did you and Adriel hook up?
So it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about, seeing what's going on and using these tools professionally. I actually was with a company that Adriel was discussing online and not necessarily a positive light. And so used the opportunity of saying, hey, I don't think you have all the correct information here. You're, sharing information based upon blogs or things that you've read.
Rumor and innuendo, yes.
It actually was, but it was based upon, it's citizen journalism, so you don't necessarily, everybody has different ways that they produce stuff. And so Adriel was reading some of these things and sharing them, and I just said, hey, I don't think the person that wrote that had the full story. And that actually led, as we talked about earlier, it's not just about having these conversations online, but that led to us, pick up the phone and talking to each other. And, we had a lot of common interest, shared interest in terms of looking at how do you make government better. Adriel, very, very passionate about, I think, especially local government. At the time, he worked for the city of San Francisco, long-time employee there. And so very passionate about the use of these tools for the betterment of government overall, but especially within the local sphere. And so, when he looked at starting up Gov2O Radio, I was very happy to accept to be a co-host on the show.
Cool. And again, Sunday night at 9, it's on. You can look it up at Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Gov2O
Radio. You can go to gov2oradio.com, and there's also a link to it at blog.gov2o.com as well.
Okay, cool. So what's the power of Blog Talk Radio? I mean, just a web web platform for radio.
Yeah, for folks that aren't familiar with the network, it's a free network, although there are paid options and as well, but it allows you to basically broadcast podcasts or create podcasts super simple without a lot of the technical knowledge that would go beyond a powers a traditional radio broadcast like this. So folks are able to set up an account and just really go from there. That's where it started. It was a way to just kind of really start up something. We've had a number of super interesting guests. I think that show itself is 2+ years old, I think, at this point. And we've had senior executives from technology companies, anything from Yammer to Empire Avenue to Twitter and other platforms. We've had senior government executives, C-level executives from government and then from industry as well, all talking kind of about the use of these types of tools, the use of open source, the use of the drive towards open data, and all about how to use technology to help government meet its mission.
Okay. I don't listen on a regular basis on Sunday night, but I do visit the site and pick up interviews on a spot basis. So again, the power here is not simply the live; it's that archive capability downloaded into your platform of choice and take it with you on the road and listen. You can burn it and put it in your CD player in your car if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most of the audience actually listens after the fact. Although we do have some live interaction and we'll take questions via chat and things of that nature, the vast majority are downloads after the fact.
Right. I occasionally get calls Monday at 1:15 for people who actually listen to the show live, but more often than not, I'm assuming that people don't gather all their friends together around a transistor radio and have lunch on Monday and listen to Mark. I have not heard of a movement like that yet, but let's talk a little bit about how you personally integrate the platforms that you use, focusing around your without getting into it in too much detail, your work, because yeah. I want contractors to understand the power of using all these things.
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways, and we talk about it internally at the firm I'm with right now about how individuals can really start to use these tools professionally, not just personally. I think the fact that a lot of this gets put into the bucket of quote-unquote social media turns a lot of people off immediately. They kind of discount it because the word social is there, so prominent. But, you know, you use these tools professionally. I mean, the power for me struck me again back when I really started to use Twitter was at the time I was in a PR role, and you know, my job was to get interviews and to get my company into the press, and started booking interviews via Twitter. Started seeing, you know, following reporters and the types of things they're talking about, and they're writing. You know, I'm writing a story about cybersecurity, and able to reach out to them via the platform and say, hey, we just hired someone who was a former 4-star. That was in charge of cybersecurity for the Army. Would you like to talk to them? And being able to book interviews. So that was where it kind of really clicked for me, the power of using these personally. I would say the other thing that I try to talk to folks internally about is, you know, using these tools as a listening post, being able to see what's going on in the marketplace and understand really what's going on in the marketplace real time. Many of their clients are out there using these tools. GovTwit was a really good example of that. Not only, you know, had 4,500 IDs, and not only do those IDs show organizations what they were sharing on various channels, but it also showed individuals and how they were using the channel. So there are a number of individuals at agencies that use these tools and that, again, are having these conversations. And you want to be able to follow these conversations and even jump in and join the conversations if you feel comfortable. So there's the kind of the listening post thing, and we've had examples where we've seen RFPs come across. We've seen CIOs and CTOs ask a question about cloud technology, saying, hey, we're getting ready to build an RFP, and we're trying to figure out some ideas. So going beyond the typical kind of RFI approach and kind of reaching out to the community and other channels to ask questions. So we'd like to talk a lot about the value of these tools, even if you're not quote-unquote participatory in terms of being vocal and posting yourself. There's a great value in at least listening, you know, joining groups on LinkedIn that are relevant to your area of interest and kind of seeing what's being talked about and what are the hot issues. And it sometimes leads traditional media. Sometimes it may be a few hours. Sometimes it may be a few days. Sometimes it may be a few weeks in terms of forthcoming trends. So there's a great deal of value I think the contractors can look at from a kind of a marketplace intelligence and even a competitive intelligence standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, right now I'm browsing your groups on LinkedIn, and you've got a nice swatch here. You know, a lot of communication stuff, a lot of Web 2.0 stuff, definitely a fair amount of really excellent government groups. We share several. I don't see you often in the discussion areas in the groups that we share. We only share a handful of the groups that you're in. Do you have other groups that you actively participate in the discussion area?
Not so much. So again, going back to kind of what the individual usage is, I'm a Twitter guy, and that tends to be where I live and where I find information. I certainly am involved and use. So I'm more of a lurker within LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I've more of a kind of curiosity around Google Plus right now, G Plus, to see what's going on, and you know, gravitated there and was very active for the first month or so, and then you know, kind of seeing what the rest of the audience does. I mean, it's where you find value.
right,
as an individual. And so I think it's you know, if you try one platform and it doesn't work for you, you shouldn't let that turn you off from others. So I grew up as an early user of LinkedIn. I think I grew up, rightly or wrongly, kind of putting it in my own little mental box of it's my online Rolodex.
Yeah, and frankly, that's not a bad way to think of it, but don't be myopic about that. It's a great way to stay in touch with that Rolodex, too. Your participation in the groups, you posting in the little Twitter-esque box there, or just, I'm assuming, yeah, you do hook up your Twitter feed to
Yeah, but
the
I don't
profile.
On a selective basis because I tweet so much. I don't want to overwhelm the network with a bunch of
stuff
that they don't necessarily understand, right?
Understood. And we're going to get into to GovTwit in the next segment. My guest today is Steve Lunsford. Steve is the founder of GovTwit, co-founder of Gov2O Radio. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mark Gold of The Gold Group, who advises affluent individuals and family-owned businesses on insurance needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour's Conversation with Author series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. Join host Michael Keegan and authors Dr. David Wild on cloud computing and government, Dr. Vicki Grant on process improvement in social service delivery, and Professor Sukumar Ganapati on the use of geographical information systems in engaging citizens. Next week on the Business of Government Hour.
How would you like up to $50 out of the blue? That's the wellness incentive from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Complete our Blue Health Assessment and get up to $50 for qualified medical expenses. $50 out of the blue. Who knew? To learn more about the Federal Employee Program, visit whoknew.fbpblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom. Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman Security.com.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
As an increased number of government agencies transform to a cloud infrastructure, IT is being viewed less as a product buy and more as a service. From acquisition and procurement to the SLAs that map them, the transition to storage, email, and infrastructure as a service stands to rewrite the basic processes of federal IT. Join AFSEA Bethesda and Dave McClure, the Associate Administrator at GSA, on November 16th at the Bethesda North Marriott to discuss how agencies are managing this transition. Register today at afseabethesda.org/NOVBreakfast.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Steve Lunsford. Steve is the founder of GovTwit, co-founder of Gov2O Radio, truly one of the power users of social media in the government contracting community. Steve, how do you see feds using social media? I mean, we know from Lisa DeZutti's study, Market Connection Studies, that they were not early adopters.
Yeah, but they've been that same study over market connections. They've been doing this for, I guess, 2 or 3 years now, and they just came out with their latest late last month. Shows that it continues to grow. So not only from an organizational standpoint, I think from a personal standpoint, I think the stat was that, you know, overall went from around 32% a year ago to 41% a year ago from a federal standpoint. There is growth there. I know that they're looking at things like blogs and videos and pictures. Those are also growing about, you know, at a clip of about 15% or so.
Mm-hmm.
So there's continued use. I think they still struggle with kind of some regulations and policies around it, especially as providing guidance for employees and their personal use of it. But by and large, agencies have gravitated toward it, toward using these tools to help meet mission pretty prolifically in the past few years. I mean, GovTwit started back in 2008. It had about 150 IDs in it and grew. We're at the three-year mark here on November 20th, and over 4,500 IDs were gathered. So, it just continues to grow, and they're doing different types of, you know, not just participating in networks. You know, obviously the big networks, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all of those have fairly significant participation. If you look at the numbers, 85 plus percent for Facebook, mm-hmm. Versus 72% last year within the federal space. YouTube grew pretty tremendously, nearly a 20% jump between 2010 2011 from 60% to 80%. LinkedIn, very dramatic growth as well, 32% in 2010, 70%, up to 70% usage by feds in 2011, and Twitter from 30 to 55%. So you're seeing these pretty big jumps year over year in terms of usage of the most popular networks.
Let's migrate for these last 6 minutes or so. Your latest post on your GovTwit blog indicates that there is an issue confronting GovTwit. Explain this, please.
Yeah, so I started GovTwit, as I mentioned, roughly 3 years ago with about 100 and some IDs, and the idea was to try to give something back to the community in terms of helping them find these connections. So within Twitter specifically, you know, how do you find those IDs that are both agencies and individuals from agencies, federal, state, local, and international? Connect on Twitter and who's out there talking about things. And very fortunate to, in about 6 months after launching, that there was a product launch called Floxy, that a software developer in Texas had built, and brought a lot of gloss to the product and tied directly to Twitter's API and allowed things like stats to be produced, live tweet streams, being able to follow, see videos and pictures that different IDs were posting. That product, however, and very kindly pretty much donated to GovTwit in terms of the software provider as they beta tested it and looked at making it a market-facing product. And they decided, unfortunately, to sunset the software, which is the way that is described, I guess, the software parlance of killing a product.
Right.
Decided to sunset it just last week. So as of yesterday, or the day before, actually the night before, Tuesday night, they decided to actually shut down the software, which has put the directory portion of GovTwit on hold for the moment. So, as you mentioned, I put a post out there on blog.govtwit.com just kind of explaining the situation to folks. Hopefully it's just a temporary situation. I've had a lot of really good response from the community in terms of potential ways to move forward and get the data back online.
Right.
So that's what we're driving for, is to look at here over the next 30 days or so, look at what options there are to bring the data back. And if I can't bring it back as a standalone site, certainly we'll open the data up to the community so it's not lost and it can be shared.
Right. Whenever anybody asks me, the question beyond why do I use Twitter, but, who do I follow? I always say go to GovTwit. They have everybody.
Yep.
Because you do.
Well, not quite everybody. I mean, there's
true, but you've got all the meat and potatoes. Maybe you're missing a little gravy.
Yeah, there's actually, I think I'm missing more than the gravy, and that's the out of the having the challenge of having to try to find a new platform. I think there's a lot of opportunity because the site was hand curated. It is the largest, as I'm aware, the largest listing of government for government social media globally. So,
right.
But it was hand curated. It was one of these things where I would sit in front of sit at home or on the metro ride or wherever I had free time and find IDs and add them to the directory and tag them and things of that nature. And the platform didn't really support a very robust community submission process. So I'm hoping that as we move forward, that would be one of the top things to look at, allowing people to really self-add to the directory relevant information, a way to cross-check that and ensure it is relevant, because I'll get anything from carpet cleaners to house painters that say, add me to the directory, right?
So, right.
And obviously that's not relevant information. So I'm hoping that this actually, that while it's a challenge, that it provides an opportunity to come back and provide a better product and provide a better experience for folks that are looking to connect with government agencies that are using social.
There you go. So if you want to connect with Steve, is the best way to do this through Twitter?
Yeah, so you can certainly send something to @GovTwit at Twitter, or you can also reach me at DS Lunsford on Twitter. That's where I kind of push out stuff from a personal perspective. And then if you go to GovTwit.com, it will direct you to the blog. So GovTwit will continue to tweet. I'll continue to hopefully post relevant content on the blog as well.
Right.
And folks can reach me through those channels also.
Steve, it's been a pleasure, man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate you taking the time and really enjoyed the chat.
This is great, and I'm certainly hopeful that GovTwit finds a new home soon. My guest today has been Steve Lunsford. Steve is the founder of GovTwit, the co-founder of Gov2O Radio, and again, if you want to follow a power user on multiple platforms, follow Steve on Twitter. This is not my day job. If you need to maximize the power of your LinkedIn,